Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I am Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. This is a podcast where we speak everything Eagles, Cowboys, NFL, and everything in between.
Yep.
And with that being said, let's get straight into it, man. Last night, Monday Night Football, Cincy versus Dallas in Dallas.
Yeah, and it sucks. Like, I know the rest of the fan base and everyone's expecting us to be bad and tanking right now, but
yeah,
there's just something about watching my football team play that it like goes against everything in me to not root for them to win. So situations happen, like when games happen like that where it's hard fought and you lose, it's regardless of what you regardless of how other people want the team to do and not in terms of draft picks and stuff,
right?
I'm still hoping for the team to win. So last night was pretty tough to watch. I know the rules. I understand what they are, but I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
I think it's a dumb rule that obviously it's going to sound like just because it happened to the Cowboys, but that's all we have to go off of. And based off that instance, I think that in that situation where a punt is blocked, I think for it to be a new set of downs, there needs to be a clear recovery of the ball by the Cowboys in that scenario, and then recovered by Cincinnati. I just don't agree with just because we touched it, they get a new whole set of downs wherever the ball lands. I think they should still have to cross that first down marker if they do recover the ball, but obviously my opinion means nothing on the game. That's why we ended up losing.
That's football. That's what happened.
Yeah. I look at it as a lot of the new rules for like roughing the passer and stuff. There's a lot I don't agree with, but at the end of the day, those are the rules. So you have to teach your players that as a coach. As a player, you have to know that.
Yeah.
And we just had a
– You just failed.
It's a heat of the moment play. Obviously, he's trying the ball. He sees the ball coming at him, wants to make a play on it, but like because of the rules and the way it is, the best bet is just get out of there. Don't touch the ball.
Right.
Fall on it if you have the opportunity.
If you
just have to. But best case scenario is just get out of the way. So that's kind of what the game came down to. It was a hard fought game by both sides.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Cooper Rush played as well as we could have hoped he would as a backup. I mean, he dueled with Joe Burrow, so a player who's in that top echelon of quarterbacks, I think in that second tier, obviously under Patrick Mahomes. But
yeah.
I mean, he went toe to toe with him up until there was a point in the game where CeeDee and Jamar's numbers were looking the same. Rico and Chase Brown's, like, I think it was a very hard fought game from the team. I liked the effort I saw. I liked a lot of the things that we were doing offensively, defensively. I think they did as best they honestly could. The Bengals offense, while they are 5-8 now, their offense hasn't been the reason. They've been a pretty high scoring offense all season.
Yes, they have.
It's undeniable that Joe Burrow is a good quarterback.
Joe Burrow's having an MVP caliber year.
Undeniable. Jamar Chase has an argument for the best receiver in the league.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
I mean, just given that off alone, Chase Brown has had a phenomenal season as a running
fifth
back.
Fifth round draft pick.
Literally. So, offensively, they pretty much did what they could. I mean, defensively, our defense did what they could against a pretty high-powered offense.
Right.
So, can't be too mad at them. And they just didn't allow a lot of points offensively. There were some plays, I think, that we left out there on the field that could have changed the game, but I mean, at the end of the day, everything's not going to go your way, so can't just harp too bad on the mistakes. I think I'm not blaming the refs for the loss, but I think there were a couple bad calls. I think the interception that Cooper Rush threw was almost an exact replica of the potential game-winning touchdown that happened in the Panthers and Eagles game, where that the ball hit the ground at the end. Like, I think it was almost the exact.
Are you talking about the Bryce Young to Xavier Leggett?
Yeah, that play. They called incomplete as it was. The ball moved, hit the ground. I think the exact same thing happened on the interception that Cooper rushed through, but they called it an interception. And then if you contrast that with the interception that Joe Burrow threw to Malik Hooker. If you watch that play, go back and watch it. Malik Hooker does a phenomenal job of not only catching it, but then securing to lift it up and get the ball off the ground. So I think that was a picture perfect play of how you're supposed to intercept the ball going to the ground. And I don't think that happened.
When did Cooper rush throw the interception? I'm blanking on. I think I missed that because he threw that early, didn't he?
I think it was in the first half.
Yeah, I think I missed that part.
And I'm pretty sure it was in the red zone as well. So that was obviously a game changing play.
But
I mean, like I said, the refs called it that way, and that's nowhere near the reason we lost the game.
Right.
Honestly, I think we at the end of the day, I think we just lost to a team that's better than us.
Yeah.
I think even though defensively,
like their record doesn't show
how good they are as a complete team, and even defensively, where they've been struggling. I think offensively we've been struggling, so it kind of was a perfect scenario for them. They have a very high-powered offense against a defense that hasn't been playing well, although they did last night, so credit to them. But defensively, where they've struggled, this was a game against the offense that kind of helped them get back in their groove. I don't think they'll make a run in the playoffs or anything, or even make the playoffs for that matter.
A lot of things have to go right for them to even sniff the wild card.
Right, I agree. But I just think in that game, the better overall team won. So can't really be too upset. And at the end of the day, we are in a position to where every loss does hurt our draft pick. So every win will hurt our draft pick. At the end of the day, I'm always going to root for the Cowboys to win. I will admit that losing doesn't hurt as much.
No, I mean, it helps you right now.
Yeah, so it just sucks when it happens on something like that. That block, whether we block the punt, we're still in position to win the game, or we're in position to put ourselves in position to win the game, because obviously we would still have to drive down and get a score. But on the block, if we get that right there, we're pretty much in Brandon Aubrey's range.
If he scoops
and scores, obviously, yeah, but at that point, we're already in Brandon Aubrey's range, recover the ball.
All you had to do was recover it.
One, maybe two first downs, and we end the game, or at the very least, go up in the game and put them on the field to put their offense back on the field to score in probably about a minute or less.
Right.
Even though they did do that, they recovered the ball and scored on pretty much the next play.
So
at the end of the day, it's just like I said. In my opinion, I think the better overall team won. So can't be too bad. It just sucks that it happened the way it did.
That's the luck of the draw, man. It's the NFL. It's the luck of the draw. Let me ask you something though before, because I want to get into Micah Parsons and his whole. You know, he had a lot of things going on last night and really this past weekend. But Joe Burrow, man, you historically have not been a fan of his. Has he earned your respect now this season?
No.
No, he hasn't?
No.
Again, because I do everything else, I've compared them to Dak. I've never heard anyone say Dak Prescott gets any credit for losing just because his defense is bad.
Yeah, but okay. You on this show have defended the Bengals record because of their defense. Joe Burrow has been playing at an MVP level. He's been putting up numbers like crazy.
Well, I've never thought he was incapable of putting up an MVP level season. I just think that.
So where do you stand on Joe Burrow? Do you think he's overrated? Because
if anyone who has him on the same level of Patrick Mahomes, obviously I think that would be overrating him, or anyone who has him on a tier above other like top quarterbacks who aren't Patrick Mahomes. If you think he's better than Josh Allen, I think that'd be overrating him. If you think he's better,
so you take Josh Allen over Joe Burrow?
No, it goes back to like my category.
Okay,
I think they would give you like Josh. That's a Josh Allen and Joe Burrow are two quarterbacks.
So they're
capable of giving you MVP seasons. They just need.
So they're on the same level to you.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's my thing. I've never really thought he was less than a tier two quarterback. I've just never thought he was a tier one quarterback.
Well,
because I think the only thing that this season I feel like is he's playing him specifically is he is playing a lot better, like individually.
He's having his best season right now.
And so, and it's not, although it's not translating to wins, I think before this season, the thing that catapulted him into that top tier category is the fact that he was, that he has a Super Bowl appearance. And that's where I kind of start becoming into the overratedness, because I don't think he was the driving force of that Super Bowl run.
I think it was, well, I think he was definitely one of the driving forces. I also think it was because Joe Burrow historically has not had an offensive line. Granted, he's had a Jamar Chase, he's had a T. Higgins. Or I'm not saying he hasn't had top-notch receivers, but it's hard to get those top-notch receivers the ball. When you get sacked 9 times in the AFC Championship game, dog, I'm sorry. That's a lot to overcome. That's all I'm saying. That's a lot to overcome.
I agree. It is. I just think that all around quarterbacks should be getting a lot less credit for the things for winning games. I've always subscribed to the fact that wins are not a QB stat, because I just there's too many things that affect a football game for one person to get that much credit. I get it. The quarterback is he controls the game the most, but at the end of the day, a lot of things like Joe Burrow's case are outside of his control. Mm-hmm. Like if they lost that game last night, it would have been no fault of Joe Burrow's.
No,
I don't know who I could have. Who would I? Honestly, had we won that game, I would have think.
So who would you say is the reason the Bengals won that game last night?
Oh, Jamar Chase.
Well, right, but Joe Burrow had to get Jamar the ball, right?
I don't think it's that hard to get Jamar the ball. Like, I think in the same sense that
it's
almost like playing with a quarterback that good and then playing with a receiver that kind of hurt each other in terms of like individuality.
Yeah,
but I think when you look at, because I think the top 5 receivers in the NFL are Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, and Tyreek Hill. And I think with 4 of those guys, you've seen them almost no matter who their quarterback is, still be able to be a top receiver in the league. Now, it's not his fault, but Jamar Chase hasn't had to play without Joe Burrow for an extended period of time. Like, we've seen CD have to play without Dak. Like, we've seen Tyreek Hill play without Tua. Like, AJ Brown, he hasn't played without Jalen Hurts, but he's played with
Tennessee. Yeah, he's played with Ryan Tannehill. No. Well, shoot.
Same with Justin Jefferson.
Last year, Jamar had to play with, what was the guy's name? Because remember, Joe got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the dude's name, but he played like at least 7-8 games with that guy. I can't even remember. I feel so bad. I can't remember the back of quarterback's name right now.
And I think last year was probably the only year his numbers weren't on par with like CDs and Tyreek Hill.
I can't recall what Jamar Chase finished with last year. But
this year he's about to win the Triple Crown. It's like I don't want to take away from his ability. We've seen entire seasons almost of these guys with not even. Like what Justin Jefferson is doing right now with Sam Darnold is no one could have expected that.
I think would I say Jamar Chase is the player of the game from last night? Yes, I would also like I don't know because it takes 2 to tango, right? Like, yeah, Jamar Chase has to go out there and make the plays, but Joe got to get the ball right. It's always a catch-22 when you're talking about a quarterback and wide receiver duo.
I was about to say that it wasn't. I could understand. There weren't like a lot of difficult throws that Joe Burrow had to make. The first touchdown, he threw that ball with so much anticipation in the perfect spot. So I'll absolutely get some credit for that.
Honestly, it was kind of to Jamar Chase on the pylon. No, that was crazy. I mean, a lot of Joe's throws, man. A lot of his throws last night, man. They like he was scrambling around the pocket, moving up, pushing up with anticipation. To me, Joe Burrow, he played a clean game last night. I know he had that one interception, but he played a clean, efficient football game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always been a firm believer in Joe Burrow, man. I rock with Joe Burrow. He's one of my favorite players. I don't know. I just think, me personally, because I know you view quarterbacks a little bit differently than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's up in the tier one conversation, me personally. But again, like we said before, with Michael Parsons, I want to get into that with you first and foremost. What were your reactions to – well, how did you feel when you saw him, like, going, like, belligerent on the sideline?
I love that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I hate it when players do that and the media narrative is just, like, calling them a diva. That type of passion just shows how
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights – Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
He cares.
He cares. He came out and said, like, oh, he still thinks this team can make the playoffs. And that that right there proves that he believes that 100% to me. That shows, like, he does, he's not just saying things because it sounds good. He truly believed that that team had a chance to be successful and continue to win games. And in the position where they had, and you just, it's just out of his control like that. I completely understand the frustration, completely understand the emotion. And I honestly wish we would see more of that. He walked off the field upset, I'm pretty sure, before the game ended.
The game was over.
I would much rather see that than see jersey swaps after a game or seeing guys being buddy-buddy. I know there are humans and they're friends. And I get that. But just me personally, I would just like to see that passion just, it just resonates with me more as a fan, because, like, that's how emotional I am.
That's how
like,
feel, yeah.
I was yelling at my TV the same exact way he was over there yelling it. Because it's like, in a position like that, I can only understand how frustrating that could be.
Right. So what do you say, because, again, we spoke about this before, I work with a lot of Cowboys fans, and a lot of them that today were literally like, that's just a lot of me, I'm selfish, all that. That's how they were painting the picture.
I think that's insane. I think it's the exact opposite. What were they saying? Like, what do you mean?
Like, the way The he way wa- Micah
He
does
wants
that.
His team to win.
They were all, I think they view Micah as... He's always the guy with the mic in his hand, you know. One of the Cowboys fans brought up, you know, Micah doing the podcast and everything. He's like, "Dude, why don't you just shut up and like go worry about helping your defense win? Because your defense gave up all these points." That was a quote from one of my coworkers this morning. I don't know, man. So, other Cowboys fans that I talk to, they view it as it's a lot of selfishness on the team. It's a lot of guys that want to see themselves succeed, and that, you know, they're talking about the Micahs, the CDs. It's funny though, they didn't say Dak was in that category. I don't know. It's interesting because you, on one hand, right, and you know, it's probably two halves of the fence here, right, for Cowboys fans, the passionate ones who say like, yeah, no, I need to see that out of my superstar player, because otherwise, how do I know he really cares? And then there's the other ones that are like, okay, like, why is he complaining? Why is he crying? Like, you gave up all these points. You did all this. Why are you making it about yourself?
I genuinely can't see how someone could see that as him being about himself.
Yeah.
After it's like.
Maybe it's like him trying to put maybe they view it as him putting the attention on himself rather than the team. Like acting like that, I guess. Because that's what a diva is, right? Like,
I guess, but.
You don't see that as that.
No. Especially that specific moment. Like if. When Dez would do it, or there's been times CD has kind of acted like a diva, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Those instances I could kind of see, especially because I remember there was a 49ers game where CD was like standing away from the team. Mm-hmm. Or he would say, like, I could understand you seeing that as being selfish, or like a receiver, like you, because like there, I remember there was a time where Dez, all you could see on him on the sideline was him yelling at everybody, complaining, this and that. And everybody's like, oh my God, he's over there begging for the ball.
Come to find
out, all the players came out and said, and they had an actual audio of him. That's literally him just like hyping up the team, saying, come on, y'all, we got this. Right. Like, we can do it. And so it's like,
you don't see where people get that?
Yeah.
No, I get it. Okay, so what else do you say? Because Micah also came out before the game, and he talked about how the Cowboys need to run this back.
Now, that I 1,000% disagree with. I am so completely.
He said, and including Mike McCarthy, we got to bring back Mike. That's what he said.
I don't understand it. And
Dax came out and said
that. Yeah, he did too.
Micah said it. Jerry said it. Jerry alluded to it, not directly, but.
Yes, and I understand from a player's perspective, if that's a guy they like, he's a player's coach, I've heard people say, and so they like Mike as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if running it back means him having full control of the play calling, absolutely not. If y'all want to run it back because y'all like him as y'all's head coach, but bring somebody in to call the plays, I'd be more open to that. But I don't think
that's happening.
Yeah, because in Mike McCarthy's eyes, he wants to run things his way.
Yep.
And his way doesn't work. So I'm not absolutely not okay with that.
Okay.
I disagree. The only thing that kind of stuck out to me when I saw someone talk about it, it was just a random fan, but they kind of looked at it as what we've seen so far. It doesn't seem like he holds players accountable. It seems like
that is also a theme that I've heard from other Cowboys fans.
And now, obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes or what he does to hold people accountable. But
yeah,
it doesn't translate as he's holding people accountable to on the field.
Right.
So,
and I mean, truth be told, let's be honest, man, like, under Mike McCarthy, like, y'all have had a lot of undisciplined plays, like
I don't know this for a fact. I don't know the exact numbers, but I would almost be willing to guarantee we are a top three penalized team, if not the most penalized team since Mike McCarthy has been our coach.
For sure.
But, and it's also not even just a Mike McCarthy thing. We've just been we're a high penalized team every year.
Yeah.
And so I think that goes to the fact that even if Mike McCarthy is the head coach, he's not completely in charge. Everyone knows Jerry's in charge. And I think Jerry for sure does not hold players accountable.
Do you think Jerry's lack of accountability, of holding players accountable, you think that translates to undisciplined football play on the field? Like from his standpoint, from him being the owner all the way down to the players?
Yes, because
you do? Okay.
I think he's so involved that
– yeah.
I don't know if he steps in when players are trying to discipline.
That's my guy. He's fine. Leave him alone. I get it.
Just like from that's the outside looking either. In, we just there's too many things to factor in, so we don't really know what the actual what's actually happening.
Right.
So
right.
I just wanted to we can't get rid of Jerry, so we got to get rid of the guys we can get rid of until something works. Because, like I say, the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I think we need I've said it before. I think we need an entire new coaching staff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there, even though Ben Johnson pretty much said
he's going to be the hot name on the block.
I mean, yeah, a lot of teams are going to be looking at him, and
he's going to be very selective.
I mean, he pretty much said, without saying it verbatim, that I would never coach for the Cowboys. He gave two requirements.
Yeah, what did he say?
And both of them contradict with being the coach of the Cowboys.
Something about organizational structure.
One was he wanted to have basically complete control of the team.
Yeah.
Not happening in Dallas. And then his second one, he wanted the organization to be able to acknowledge what went wrong this season,
right,
and have a willingness to change that.
Yeah.
Never going to happen in Dallas, because the problem this season was Jerry Jones and the team he built.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say, I think the team we've seen. So one thing I want to talk about is I don't know how, because right now Rico Dowdle is playing decent football.
He's best running back.
He's not by far. He's not playing amazing football. He's not playing. No,
he's best running back on y'all's roster. What happened
football.
To Dalvin Cook?
I don't know. He's been on the practice squad.
I just thought. Well, he got elevated. I literally just thought about
that. He got elevated for one game, and I can't remember which game it was.
What happened, bro? Like,
and I think who's ever forcing Mike McCarthy, if it's his decision, if it's Jerry's, whichever organizational component is forcing Ezekiel Elliott to play
on the field
is hurting our team.
Yeah.
I think there were two drives last night that immediately got stalled out the moment we handed Zeke the ball.
He gets tackled 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
And when Rico was only getting positive yardage. Yeah, I mean, Rico was getting a first down every other run.
Right.
And we went away from it. Then not only did we go away from the run and give it to Zeke a couple of times, there was the drive where we were running the ball well with Rico, and then it didn't even take him out. We just passed three straight plays, three incompletions, leading to a punt.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think – I don't know who made the decision to make Rico the number one back, but that decision should have been made a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And it's showing that the team could have been a lot different had we committed to the run with Rico, because that was our biggest problem the first 6-7 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. We had a non-existent running game we were doing running back by committee.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's funny because y'all didn't even come into the season with a number one running back. Y'all said y'all were going to do it by committee, but Zeke was getting the bulk of the carries
exactly
at the beginning of the season. And then obviously we see he's washed. He's done. But yeah, no, Rico Dowdle, he's been y'all's best running back by a mile this season. I don't know. And I mean, you know, hopefully y'all keep him next year. Again, I don't think he's a feature guy, but he's definitely a good change of pace back for y'all for sure.
Absolutely. I would be okay with bringing him back.
Right. And then get somebody else in there to take majority of the carries.
That's my thing. I don't think running back by committee works.
You're not a believer in that?
I don't think it would really work with Rico being the best running back, if that makes sense. I do.
Yeah.
I think the team, because
like if y'all went for it with him and Deuce or something.
Yeah, whether it's him or Deuce, him and Zeke this year. Like I think with him being the lead back, with him being the best back, if you're doing running back by committee, that means everybody else is worse than him. Like I think your running back by committee needs to, if he's the second best back on the team, that could work. Or if someone's as equal to him, I think it's almost it's clear as day that Zeke and Rico Dowdle aren't on the same level anymore.
Zeke is done.
So there's a lot of decisions that were made this year that could have helped the team in a better way. But I just think
Jerry Jones dropped the ball. Mike McCarthy dropped the ball a little bit in terms of setting up the offense for success.
Which is so like that's what I think. Like I was saying that to say, because Ben Johnson, he said the acknowledgement of the problem this year and willingness to change. And so I think part of the problem was Mike McCarthy's offense and Jerry. And so getting Ben Johnson would be acknowledging one of the problems and be willing to change it. But the problem with Jerry and his roster building, he would never, one, admit he was wrong or to do anything to like change his ways.
Did you see now I'm not saying this to say like y'all should go out and get this guy, but did you see there was like some rumor a little bit about Kyle Shanahan, like the Niners trading him?
I mean, I would be open to it.
Would you be okay? So you'd be open to a Kyle Shanahan,
a Shanahan, a Ben Johnson? I want a younger guy. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan is a Mike McDaniels, but he's also not Mike McCarthy.
I'm not completely sold on Mike McDaniels either, but
like he's on the younger side compared to some of the old coaches. Just offensively, schematic wise, he's a lot younger than a lot of these older coaches. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely be open to that.
Be open to like a Mike Vrabel? You know, he's out there.
I've seen people say bringing him in as like a defensive coordinator or something like that.
I mean, he built up a good team in Tennessee, man. You know, he had a fluke of a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, and I mean, he had Derrick Henry, he had AJ Brown. He did what he could with that team, but I don't know. There's a lot of talk of Mike Vrabel getting another look, you know, this new head coaching cycle.
I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah,
I would be open to. I mean, because you really don't know what they're capable of until they get in there and get a chance. So
yeah.
As long as it's somebody who's shown. Like, when we hired Mike McCarthy, I understood that. He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Mm-hmm.
He has playoff success outside of just winning that one Super Bowl.
Right.
Obviously, Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback, but I think that signing him at the time wasn't bad. It just turned out to not be. Because I remember when we got rid of Kellen Moore and everyone, it's like, sometimes just because something isn't the right answer doesn't mean it wasn't, like, a good option at the time. You know, It's easy to say after the fact that we should have never hired Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you don't know until you know.
Exactly.
You don't know until you know.
There's a lot of I'd be open to.
I mean,
pretty much anybody is just
right.
A change would be nice. Now, if we hire somebody who's been on his couch for years, or somebody who's who was bad when they were in the league, I wouldn't be okay with that.
But
there's a lot of promising guys who've shown flashes in the league and that I would be confident could do a better job than Mike McCarthy.
Right.
And even if they don't, after the fact, I still don't think – that's my thing. Just because, say we hire Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
It didn't work out here.
Right.
Just because Ben Johnson wasn't the answer doesn't mean Mike McCarthy was the answer as well.
Right.
So I think we should still move on, get some new people in there.
It's time to change it up. No, I feel you. Before we dive deep into Philly, are you seeing the rumors about Bill Belichick?
Did someone say he was about to be a high school coach?
No. Oh, no.
Where did I?
Hey, imagine Bill Belichick coaching a high school team. North Carolina, University of North Carolina.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, there's talks of him. Actually, he's talked to North Carolina twice now, apparently. And the big thing there is that apparently if Bill Belichick were to take a head coaching gig there, a stipulation would be that his son, Steve Belichick, would be made the head coach in waiting. That's the rumor mill coming out, and you know, people feel a way about it and everything. Me personally, I don't want to see Bill Belichick out of college. If Bill Belichick is coaching again, I think he needs to be in the NFL. He's so close to Don Shula's all-time coaching wins record. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Me personally, I think if he goes to college, that's him taking a step down at this point. And he's 71, man. You ain't taking a step down at this point.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, obviously he's a human, so like you don't want to wish anything on. But
he's
a human, so he doesn't have that much time left.
No.
So
he has maybe like, what, I'll probably say maybe 3-4 years. I mean, Pete Carroll, he was coaching in mid-70s, right? So, like, I mean, Bill Belichick can do it, but I think he has one more good, like, decent run in him as an NFL head coach. And I think, I mean, I don't know. He needs to go to a team. I mean, maybe y'all. I don't know. I don't even know if Jerry Jones would even entertain that. But he needs to go to a team that is, like, ready. Honestly, and I thought about this before, I'm just going to throw it out there. Bill Belichick, I know he left them at the altar before, but if he went to the Jets, because to me, Aaron Rodgers is not even the biggest problem with the Jets. And if you look at his numbers, he's not even having a bad season. But I'm not here to dive deep into the Jets. It is what it is.
Right.
All right, man. Let's.
Oh, wait. Before we move on to Philly, I just want to give one shout out. Prayers up to DeMarvion Overshown.
Yes.
I mean, I came on this show week after week and said, please put him on ice, put him on ice, put him on ice. We need him for next season.
He tore his MCL, PCL, and ACL.
And the opposite leg of the first ACL, he tore his rookie season. I mean, it's looking like he might miss the entire next season. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Might miss the entire next season. I mean, it's like,
CD keep messing with his shoulder, man. Bro, just put him on IR, man.
I don't get it, guys. I understand. Like I said to start off the show, I understand wanting to win every game. But it's not my job to look at the big picture and look at the future.
No.
I'm a fan. I wanted this team to win every game in the moment.
Right.
You guys, I get wanting to win the game, but you got to protect, like.
You got to look at long term.
The Overshown, it wasn't like he had like a nagging injury and they kind of.
It was non-contact.
It was a non-contact,
just what happens.
Yeah, it just happened. But like somebody like CD, we're literally going to play him until his shoulder falls off.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's like, why are we doing
just
this?
Just put CD on IR. I don't know if anybody else is banged up, but.
We lose a different lineman every single game. Right.
Yeah, Cooper Beebe just got hurt.
Cooper Beebe got banged up in this game. Tyler Smith got banged up. We already lost Zach Martin.
Yep. No, yeah, just put your guys on IR, man. Like the 49ers, they need to put Fred Warner on IR. Dude, did you see? They've lost their top three running backs, the 49ers.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason,
and Isaac Garendo. Yep. It's over. If it wasn't over before, man, it's over now.
But yeah, just wanted to give him his shout out.
Yeah,
give
shout
him
his out prayers.
Rest up, man. Sean, I mean, we love you in Dallas. We love a lot of Austin, Texas loves you, man.
Future, I'm gonna say right now, future All Pro because he's too good, bro. He's too good.
And Micah literally burst into tears talking about it because it does suck. It literally, these guys are human. Like I said about Belichick, they want to play. They put their hearts into this. They put their souls into this.
Mm-hmm.
This is something he's been working for literally his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And now he finally got here and hasn't even got the chance to play. I think he's played half a season at this point. I mean, that just really sucks.
If he can stay healthy, his future is really bright.
Right, man.
But God, it seems like that's always like the thing with Cowboys linebackers, isn't it? Y'all draft
Sean Lee,
Leighton Van Der Esch, Jalen Smith.
I mean,
what is that? What is that like?
I don't know.
Is it a linebacker curse?
I think in I can't really remember what Sean Lee. I can't remember how he was in college, but I know
Sean Lee was Smith, nice. He was nice. He was at Penn State too.
Well, no, I'm saying in terms of their injury, I know Jalen Smith was coming off what people thought could be a career-ending injury.
Yep, off that ball game. Him.
And Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, he just had neck issues in Slane. Like, so I don't think
that. I don't know what it is, but when y'all draft linebackers, they end up being studs, but they just can't stay on the field. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It does not make sense.
That really sucks. And especially last year, losing Overshown when linebacker was by far our biggest hole on our defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, it really sucks. Just hope he can get better, figure out a way to stay on that field. And guys, and like you said, sometimes it's just bad luck, but I mean, hopefully we can draft some linebackers. Our linebackers of the future don't fall into the same pattern.
I don't know what it is, man, but Dallas with these linebackers, bro. But like, honestly, like, y'all need to save, like, y'all need to protect yourselves right now. Put CD on IR. I don't know anybody else. If anybody else is looking knick-knack, man, just put them on IR. And look, yeah, you still going to try to win the games. But, like, okay, let's put our young guys in and see. And let's also, like, I don't know, lose these last four games so we can get a better draft pick. Like, it's okay. We know what the deal is, bro. Like, we've seen this happen time and time again. You're not the first team to do this, right? Like,
and I think Cooper Rush, I don't think he, like, prefers, like, them over CD, but the way he targets, like, the backups, it's like, those are his guys, right?
Those are guys he's been practicing with, right?
Let them all go. Let the whole second string go out there.
Right.
And just play.
And, I mean, listen, maybe on the off chance, you can possibly find your number two or number three receiver. I mean, I don't know. Ryan Fournoy, I know you're very down on him. I don't know. Jalen Tolbert, he seems like he's starting to have drop issues a little bit.
He did have a drop in this game, and I think that
He's shown flashes, no?
Yes, he's shown flashes as a number three receiver.
Okay.
And I think I love him in that position if the number two receiver is better than Brandon Cooks.
Are you done with Brandon Cooks?
It's not that I'm done with. He's older now. I think a perfect scenario for me would be CD as our number one, a new guy coming in as our number two.
And Brandon as three?
And then Jalen and Brandon fighting for three, like that being with Turpin coming in every so sporadically. Because
he's a gadget play guy. He's not an actual receiver. Like,
and he runs. They play him as an actual receiver a lot, and he gets a decent, especially with Cooper Rush in.
He was getting targets last night.
Exactly. I think that would be the perfect scenario for us. I think Brandon Cook still should, like, even he scored in this game. I think he shows flat, but that was his only catch. But I think he shows flashes that he's still a capable receiver. It just doesn't need to be as the number two guy.
I think he is. It's crazy. Brandon Cooks has literally put up 1,000 yards in every team he's been on except for the Cowboys.
Right.
Like, it's.
I think that is a testament to how he's used, but I also think that's a testament to.
He's also been, like, pretty injured with y'all a little bit too.
Yes. But at this point in his career, like, there are plays where he just is not getting open. I mean, like, running a route and the corner is, like, attached to him the entire way.
Yeah.
Whether it's just trying to send him down the field on a go, no separation, whether it's running a comeback run. Oh, wow, I'm glad I just said that. Because something that stuck out to me last night is the amount of comeback routes it seemed like every single first down the Bengals got was on a comeback route.
Yep.
I literally tweeted during the game, they're running so many comebacks and they're successful. I think someone's going to get burnt on a fake comeback. And they just never did. They just kept running the comebacks, which made me wonder, is that why we only have a route truck and only run slants and comebacks? Because that's all that it takes to kill that team in practice?
Right.
I was genuinely like, it was insane how many times T. Higgins or Jamar Chase ran a little comeback just to get the first down.
The game went in touchdown.
It was literally just a comeback.
And De'Ron Bland just whipped
on the tackle.
Yep.
That confused me. It was almost like they were trying to, like, let him have it. I genuinely was like, maybe that's why we only run comebacks, because they think it works.
Right.
Because it kills them in practice.
I also wonder, with Brandon Cook specifically, like, because he's more of a slot guy, right? He's not like an outside receiver. Do y'all put him outside a lot?
We put him. He moves around. He runs routes in the slot. He does run routes outside. But
I think ideally you'd want to have CD and another guy outside and him on the inside, though.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I don't think Brandon Cooks is done. I think it's a multitude of things, right? Like CeeDee, if you only feel like you can only get CeeDee the ball and he's getting majority of the targets, it's like, okay, what else are we going to do? And then obviously the defense is going to key in on CeeDee. But also, if you're Mike McCarthy, if you're calling the plays, if you're scheming this offense, like you said before, you got to scheme guys open. Mm-hmm. If you got to scheme CeeDee open, you got to scheme Brandon Cooks open. You got to give the defense multiple threats to worry about, right? It can't just be key in on CeeDee Lamb. Right. That just can't be the game plan every time, man. And all right, man, let's get into Philly, bro, because I know there's been talk. There's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot of chit chatter.
Even some.
Yeah, Eagles. Yeah. We'll get into it.
Legends had some stuff to say about it.
Let me talk. Oh yeah. You're right about that too. Let me talk about the game first and foremost. That was literally probably the weirdest and off game I've seen us play this year.
Oh, definition of a trap game.
Yes, but it's crazy because like. It was a trap game, but it was also like when I just say weird and off, like Adam Thielen made Cooper DeJean look like a rookie. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense now. It's 2024.
Oh, yeah. That was another reason I lost in fantasy. Adam Thielen put up more points than he's done all season.
He made Cooper DeJean look like an actual rookie, right? Cooper DeJean been playing at a Pro Bowl, all pro level all season, and Adam Thielen made him look like a rookie.
I saw some jokes and it was like maybe wide receivers are his kryptonite.
I was like, jokes get out of here. I saw that. Adam Thielen had a game for the ages. Defense, man, we were just missing plays. We could have had Bryce Young for a safety. Josh Sweat whiffed on it. I mean, it's just we're just missing plays that we always make, right? And on offense, I mean, slow starts once again, right? We get behind. And then, yeah, of course, at that point, you're going to like maybe force feed Saquon. But then if you do that, right, the defense is already ready for it. So that kind of happened in the first half a little bit. And I mean, obviously, you know, the big thing is about the passing and Jalen Hurts only threw for, you know, 108 yards and blah, blah, blah. AJ Brown didn't get that many targets. Devontae didn't get that many targets. I'm going to say this right now. If y'all really think A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts got legit beef out here, do y'all not realize Jalen Hurts is the godfather of A.J. Brown's daughter? That's not something you just walk away from, bro.
Because you don't get a few targets in the game.
Yeah, like come on, man. Stop. And I'm going to say this right now. I think A.J. Brown, he's had a few diva moments. I'm not gonna deny that, right? But I don't. He wasn't wrong in what he said. He literally said the passing game it needs to improve. Like it needs to improve. And I'm completely with what Devontae Smith said. Devontae Smith came out and said to this game specifically. He was like, this game specifically, we were not on the same page. He said, I'm not talking about the whole season. This game specifically, and he was right. He was right. Now, granted, you look at the whole, you know, sample size throughout the season. Again, Jalen Hurts, his numbers don't look amazing, right? People talk about him for MVP. I say no because he's not 2022 Jalen Hurts, right? Everybody can see that he's not. You know, like I always say this when it comes to Jalen, right? You play fast, you play decisive, you playing clean football. Mm-hmm. I'm cool. But when he starts to hesitate, he starts to hold the ball too long, that's when things go haywire, and that's what happened this past Sunday a little bit. Don't get me wrong, did he miss A.J. Brown a few times? Yes, like the Devontae Smith touchdown. A.J. Brown was open, but Jalen Hurts, he chose the more difficult throw. It's interesting. I don't know. You can't make that up. A.J. Brown is screaming open in the middle of the field, and Devontae's like, he's crossing on the boundary.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? Whatever.
It worked, but
yeah, man. I mean, everybody and their mama has something to say about it. Even Brandon Graham got his foot in his mouth a little bit and was talking about, I don't know what happened. They were friends when they first got here, but things changed. And he came back and walked those comments back. Nick Sirianni had to come out and say something about it too.
I saw Donovan McNabb.
And T.O. going at it, which I appreciate. I'm not gonna lie.
Wait, you appreciate which one?
That rivalry, like, and obviously, you know, being an Eagles fan, like, when T.O. and Donovan McNabb, like, and I mean, I was alive, but, like, I wasn't paying attention.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I wasn't an Eagles fan like that.
Right.
But you know, when that thing, I mean, obviously I did my homework and everything, bro. Like when those two were beefing and they made it to the Super Bowl, dog. And Donovan McNabb, he couldn't stand T.O. He still fed him the ball in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. Like, so much stuff happened with them, man. So much stuff happened. And like the fact that those two felt the need to come out and speak on the A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts thing, I honestly found it to be funny. T.O. and Donovan McNabb, you know, I think they just need to get in a ring and square up at this point because they can't stand each other. I'd love to see that.
There's some big dudes.
I mean, T.O. talking about he can still play, bro. He's like 53. Stop.
Facts.
Yeah, man. Look, I'm going to say this right now. I do not think there's any drama. I think this was an off game. I think Kellen Moore did not call his best game. Jalen Hurts did not play his best. He did not read the field as quickly as we would like him to. Offense stalled out a little bit. Defense bailed us out again. All things can be true, right? But I don't think there's a pressing issue. I don't think there's drama. I think everybody's putting their helmets on, putting their hard hats on, and going back to work. I think A.J. Brown's still going to come out and ball out. The only thing I will say, you know, because for me, you know, we had this game. And like you said, it was a trap game, dude, because – you know, say what you want, but the Panthers they're rising. All right. They're finishing the season strong. Shout out to Bryce Young again, because he's figuring it out. I will say I'm nervous because we come off a game in which we should dominate the Panthers and we got the Steelers coming up.
Who absolutely
played amazing football. Exactly, so far. Dude. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was nervous for that game, man. They got a defense. They got an offense. George Pickens is slated to be out again, though. But Russell Wilson's been playing really good football. They've been running the ball really well. And they got a top-notch defense, man. So I'm not ecstatic about our performance, you know, coming off of that game against the Panthers heading into Pittsburgh. That definitely makes me nervous. And but
it's in Pittsburgh.
I think it's in Philly.
Yeah, it is in Philly.
Yeah, it's in Philly. So you know that's good. But I mean, hey, man, it's in Pennsylvania, right? Philly, Pittsburgh. That's an interstate rivalry. Anyway. The Steelers fans, they're gonna travel. We know what the deal is with that. The Terrible Towel's gonna travel, man. So, yeah, dude. All I can hope is that Nick Sirianni gets to these boys and have them refocus because that's what needs to happen. Because God forbid, man, we come out laying egg against the Steelers, bro. I don't like that, dude. I don't like that at all. And we know about Mike Tomlin, man. He always has those boys ready to go.
Right.
Always has those boys ready to go. So I'm looking forward to a good game this Sunday. Like I said, hopefully we can refocus. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, we can put all the talkers to bed. Come out. I'm not going to say dominate, but I mean, shoot, man. I've said it before and I'll say it again, man. We have the most talented roster in football. So, yeah, do I anticipate or do I expect us to come out and be able to dominate any team? Yes. Do I think we can do it against the Steelers? If we get out to a fast start, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we get out to a fast start. So, yeah, man, we're going to see. Saquon Barkley still out here rushing for over 100 yards a game. He's had, you know what's crazy? We've rushed for over 100 yards in 13 straight games.
Yeah.
You know, Saquon Barkley broke LeSean McCoy's single season rushing record. Shout out to him for that. I'm just waiting for him to break Eric Dickerson's record now. That's all I'm really hoping for. Honestly, like, if he gets an MVP, cool. Like, I don't think he will, but if he gets it, cool. But I really want him to get the single season rushing record. I'm not going to lie. I'd love to see him do that as an Eagle. Speaking of MVP, though, hey, man, did you see Josh Allen?
I did.
Dude, what? That man had 6 touchdowns.
That's unheard of. I think if ever, he played every game like that, yeah, he'd be the MVP.
But. I think that man is continuing to build his case, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. And the fact that they lost that game. Oh, my God.
He's
in the running for sure, I think.
I would say that game, because it's hard to, you know, catapult a guy after a loss, but that win, like I said earlier, wins are not a QB stat.
Like that.
Yeah, that's right. That right there is the perfect example of wins not being a QB stat.
Yeah.
Because losses shouldn't be a QB stat. And if you, well, like, obviously context goes into the into play.
Yeah, you should get
if you play bad, obviously you should get,
because that's like
talking about it. But like, I feel like that that game right there like epitomizes that.
Right,
like, you can play amazing and still not win the game.
God, dude, and that it, game was.
You know what I'm saying?
So I was literally like, sitting there like, "Go, Josh, go!" Like literally, like, oh, man, I, that was amazing to watch. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because you know that's. That's like the knock on Lamar, right? Like, because he's 8-5.
Right.
So, like, if he doesn't win it, people are going to look at his losses.
I mean, I see the wins not being a QB stat is my personal opinion. Right. I don't think the league and the MVP voters obviously do not subscribe to that to that thought. So, for, I mean, so to the people it matters to, yeah, his Lamar's losses are definitely going to probably be the reason he, if he doesn't win MVP, would be the reason he doesn't win MVP.
Who you got winning right now? Is it still who? Because you had who before? Was it Saquon?
Yeah.
You still got Saquon?
Yes, I would have Saquon, but
okay.
If the season ended right now, mm-hmm. I think it would probably be Josh Allen, just because it's a quarterback award at this point, but I think Saquon would deserve it.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I would love to see Saquon win it. No Philadelphia Eagles ever won it. I would love to see him do it. I just feel like it's probably, I feel like it's Josh Allen's to lose at this point. Like, if Buffalo goes on like a losing streak to end the season, yeah, ain't no way he's sniffing it, right? But dude, if he continues to ball out like this, I don't know, man. I really think it's his to lose.
I think as long as they don't lose two more games, if they can keep their, if they go, what is that, be 13-4?
Yeah,
I think Josh Allen will win if they go 13-4.
If they have a better record than the Ravens, and shoot, might mess around and be the Chiefs at this point, because, but you can, I mean, the Chiefs, they're getting a little bit lucky at this point.
So people are calling the, one of my friend Christian calls it voodoo magic, because it's like they are winning games by like, doing who know, like they're, it's almost like they're just being willed to wins by like outside forces. Yeah,
yeah. Say outside the football forces. God.
Yeah,
football gods. Like the football gods are just willing them to wins.
So yeah, so that's not, and that's the same way I think wins not being a QB stat is why Patrick Mahomes doesn't deserve the MVP.
No, he hasn't.
If you're just gonna give it to the quarterback on the best record, I think that kind of invalidates the award.
Like Jared Goff. Jared Goff has a better case than Patrick Mahomes.
I agree.
He, like, no. I'm not going to lie to you. I really think the Chiefs' magic is going to run out come playoff time. I think they're going to get the wrong matchup, and I think their magic will be over, me personally. Because I just – their offense is not clicking the way – dude, I mean, they could have lost to the Chargers.
Right.
They could have lost to the Chargers.
Now, the Chargers are a good team.
They are.
Yeah, that they was are. Definitely a game the Chiefs could have lost.
They could have lost a few of the games. Man. They could have lost a few of games
from week one.
Come on, man.
One by a toe.
I think the Chiefs, I don't think they're going to make better than the Super Bowl. I think that three-peat is not going to happen.
I will say that kind of just shows you like how tough it is. For everybody, obviously, since no one's done it, everybody realizes how tough it is to three-peat in the NFL. But even like going back-to-back, winning a Super Bowl, like so many things have to go right,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's gotten to the point where we've seen so much just happen, like just go right for them. It's just like when is it gonna end? When are things like gonna bounce in the opposite way?
When is the other shoe gonna drop?
Right,
that's what people are waiting for at this point. But before we get on out of here, I wanted to ask your opinion because I got into a pretty heated discussion about this about this earlier at work. What are your thoughts on college athletes getting paid?
That, like NIL
and stuff? All that jazz. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Before they got paid, I was all for it. I felt like it was kind of, I think it was wrong to like how much these schools profit off the players and the teams, and they saw none of it.
Yeah,
but I think it's gotten to a point where it's kind of,
it's the wild, wild west.
Yeah, it's kind of like not ruining things, because I'm not the biggest college football fan, so I can't really gauge what's being ruined. But just looking across the league, I think the transfer portal is kind of messing things up. Players getting promised certain amount of money for going to certain schools, and it just being okay and open. Because if we're being honest, players have gotten paid for a long time.
Yep.
But now it's open, and now they can actually sway people's decisions and things like that. I kind of think there should be some type of cap or some type of regulation on it, because at this point it's getting out of control.
Right.
What about it? How do you feel about it?
Me personally, I felt like before they were, the players got paid, I felt like they should be getting paid. It's funny you mentioned the schools. It ain't even the schools, man. It's the NCAA. The NCAA makes money hand over fist.
Yeah.
With the names on these players' backs, right? The blood, sweat, and tears they put in.
Right.
My thing is, like you said, it's the Wild Wild West, man. I mean, I'm a Michigan fan. So, yeah, am I ecstatic that we got Bryce Underwood, the number one quarterback in the 2025 draft class? Yes. Or not draft class, but recruiting class?
Yeah.
Yes. But we got him because we paid him an absurd amount of money, like $12 million.
Well, so here's the thing. If there's no salary cap and these schools have an abundance of money,
right,
it's like giving him that much money isn't hurting the team.
No. Here's my thing. It's literally any Joe Schmo that's a millionaire can give so-and-so. Okay, boom. I'm Eric. I'm a successful billionaire, whatever. You're a recruit. Hey, I'm going to give you $10 million. I want you to go to Michigan. All right, cool. Whatever. I'm done. I don't like that. To me, what needs to happen is the NCAA needs to get off its high horse, right, and say, all right, you know what? We need to pay the players because it's the TV deals, bro. Listen, yeah. Legit, if they cut a check to each school to pay its players based on the TV deals, bro, because let's be real, if you're a player at South Alabama, yeah, you're not going to be making money like the players at Alabama.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, listen, hey, welcome to the real world. Welcome to capitalism. You're not that level of guy,
yeah,
right? You're not that level of player. It is what it is, right? I just think the NCAA needs to get off its high horse and they need to come out and pay the players because that's the problem. Like, that needs to be the governing body that runs this thing,
right?
Because otherwise, I mean, dude, look at it. I mean, did you hear the news today in college basketball?
No, what happened?
I can't even pronounce the dude's last name, but the AJ, oh, I can't even pronounce the last name, but the number one recruit, he committed to BYU.
That's crazy.
And you know how much they're paying him? Like $12 million, bro.
BYU wasn't relevant before Jimmer and hasn't been relevant since.
He committed to BYU. They paying him like $12 million. I can't pronounce, it's AJ DeBisma or something. I can't pronounce the last name. Mm. But yeah. College sports will literally never be the same.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And, like, the sense of loyalty, the sense of pride that you get, like, it's not like, there no more,
the same
man.
Way you could be like, oh, you're a Michigan alum. I'm a recruit. Hey, I'll give you 10 minutes coming into Michigan.
Right.
Well, the very next year, a UT alum can be like, hey, right, I'll give you 15 million to come to Texas.
I'm gone, bro. Yeah, right. Come on, man. Like, what? Yeah, it's sad, man.
I feel like that.
It's sad.
I agree they should get paid. There should just be more regulation. Similar to the NFL, like I get it's different, but if you give me a recruit $10 million to play for Michigan, I should have to play for Michigan or give the money back or so, I don't know, or something. Like, I shouldn't just be able to get a new deal every year, because that's just not how, like, contracts in the NFL work. That's not how things really work.
Players are transferring like crazy now just to get to the biggest bag, man. Just to get to the biggest bag. I mean, hey, and I'm not knocking them for it. Go get your money, man. Go get your money. That's the way college football is now. That's the way college basketball is now. Go take full advantage of it. But, like, it is going to get worse before it gets better. And to me, that's because of the NCAA, first and foremost.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, with that being said, folks, that's a wrap on episode 14. Yep. We didn't even mention this is episode 14.
Absolutely.
Of Birds at the Rodeo. Please like, comment, subscribe, hit that notification bell like Lando always says.
Let us know. That way you know when we post. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, on YouTube,
TikTok.
Anywhere you can get content, we'll be there. Just check us out, man.
Check us out. Please feel free to like I said, comment. Let us know how you feel. Let us know your thoughts. If you got anything you want us to discuss, please let us know.
If you agree with college players getting paid, if you agree with the punt block rule, if you disagree.
Who your MVP is.
Let us know.
We
want to talk about it.
We're all ears. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, catch y'all next week. Peace.
Later.